anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. For diplomat mold, their computer science careers were cut short, and the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Good morning and happy holidays, everyone. It's Christmas Eve day, and glad to have you along. We're going to chat here for about an hour on the Doug and Daddy Show and turn you back over to the network to find out what they think about Mark Teixeira. Doug, due to Tony Davis, our producer, Derek Stenson, with you on this show. Hopefully you have a blessed and a happy holiday. We are going to take Friday off because, well, we damn well deserve it. So we're going to have Friday off, and we'll be back on Monday talking a lot of local things because that's when the holiday basketball tournaments get underway. Everybody will get back on the court for the most part sometime next week, UNK, Hastings College, and the Huskers. And maybe the Huskers need some time off. Ugh. How many times, I think last night you saw a lot of teams, I mean, Gonzaga's going, why did we play December 23rd? I think you're going to start to see teams not playing so close to Christmas. I mean, if you're going to institute and send your kids home, I mean, their focus obviously is not there. Gonzaga doesn't lose to Portland State at home if they're focused. Nebraska plays a good Maryland-Baltimore County team. And again, we have to face facts. Nebraska men's basketball team is not good. They are not good. They are not a good basketball team. And they showed a lot of heart trying to come back last night, but you can't be down 16 to a non-BCS team at home at halftime anytime ever. But they did shoot 62%. They also only played six kids. And I think that had something to do with Nebraska catching up. They were wearing them down as the game went along. But that just seemed to be one of those things, a tough one. The only thing that was going on this week, and the Nebraska men come up short 66-64.
Doug, we had Andy Markowski on about a week, 10 days ago, and he fully expected heading in to the Big 12 season that the team would be 12-1, which I think a lot of people thought because they thought they'd get a win at Oregon State, and they thought they'd get the win last night and kind of take care of business, so to speak, heading into the Big 12. Now as you look at
what did that mean? Take care of business, so to speak. Well, what did that mean?
It means they'd be 12-1, and they would take care of their business on the court and win games.
Okay, all right. So what does so to speak mean? It'd been a long time since I was able to nail him on this one. That's right, it's the holidays. You came in grumpy, I'm going to keep you that way.
I didn't come in grumpy.
Grumpy. Derek, grumpy?
Grumpy.
Yeah, grumpy.
Now this team really has nothing. What do you play for? The Big 12 will be a disaster. How many games do you have?
Well, did they not just, as they've done for like 25 years, set you up to at least pay attention to them and then just kick you right in the, I mean, like they always do, knee in the gut? I mean, that's what Nebraska men's basketball always does. As soon as you start paying attention again, they fall flat. And they'll probably somewhere in the Big 12 upset somebody, maybe put together back-to-back wins, and you go, huh. You know, they're going to play, you know, Colorado at home this week. They'll put together a three-game winning streak. You know, that's what they always do. And as I kind of jokingly said last night, well, this loss is going to hurt our NIT chances. And that's exactly what it did. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They have to have a winning record to get into the NIT, and losing to Oregon State and Maryland, Baltimore County, who are just, I mean, and Arizona State. The only team they've beaten on their non-conference record that's worth their salt is Creighton, and that was without that was kind of in a transition period where they lost, if not the best, one of their best players in that game. And now Creighton has come back. They won the Las Vegas Classic with two nice wins over name schools in Fresno State and DePaul the last two nights, while Nebraska's at home losing to Maryland, Baltimore County.
How do you even get Maryland, Baltimore County on the schedule?
Well, this is the kind of games they need to, you know, get in a tournament, even though you probably think the only way those teams get in the tournament is win their conference. But if somehow they go, you know, 27-3, but one of their losses would happen to be to a BCS team on the road, that's not looked at so bad. So, but this, you know, Nebraska is different than playing, say, Texas on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number if you'd like to join us on today's program. You can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Dent Popper, well, you know what the way the roads have been. I've seen the accidents out there. It's a lot of dents for them to pop. But if you've been in a minor fender bender or you just maybe for Christmas want to get that truck bed lined, they've got armor lining as well. Check them out. See them after the holidays. They wish you and yours the very best from the Dent Popper. And you can fire off your email anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. So glad to have you along with us. Well, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Hey, Doug and Tony, face the facts. The Giants are going to repeat to hell with Plexico. Get rid of him. Keep Jacobs and Ward, and you have a contender every year. As for the Super Bowl, what nobody is talking about is the brothers playing each other. Manning on Manning. Indy versus New York. MVP versus MVP. A Manning Super Bowl 3 years in a row. It's from Craig in Grand Island or via New York.
Well, yeah. You know what? Right now, pretty tough to argue if you like Indianapolis. They've been on quite a roll here lately. Everybody thinks Peyton Manning back 100%. And Eli just keeps handing the ball off, and they keep running for 8 yards a carry.
I thought you were getting better. What happened?
I don't know. You know.
Did you quit taking your medicine?
No.
Did you quit?
Still taking my medicine.
What did you do yesterday? Did you overshop?
Were
you out in the cold too much? Did you not wear your coat?
No, I wore my coat.
Do we need to get a hold of your family members and say Tony needs some coats for Christmas?
No, I'm good on coats. Just, I don't know. Can't shake it. Trying.
Just stayed home last night and comfied up and watched TV and some holiday specials. That's good. I'm glad. I don't understand. You should be healthier than this. I feel sad. But getting back to the Super Bowl, does anybody want to see Indy play New York?
Well, they do for that reason. I mean, that would be the headline everywhere.
Yeah, I guess there's going to be a lot of intriguing storylines no matter what, because you've got a lot of teams that are going to be in the playoffs that are either struggling to get in or are going to be brand new football teams getting in, like in Atlanta, the reemergence of Carolina. Say a Tampa Bay gets in, say a Chicago gets back in there, say a Minnesota gets in that hasn't done much, Arizona, San Diego sneak in. You got a lot of intrigue out there. If Pittsburgh gets in, you've got the Grinch Mike Tomlin, who evidently hates Santa Claus. Anybody saw that showing up at his press conference yesterday, I guess.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Joe, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Joe Namath. Thank you. Thank you so much for stopping by.
If Dallas isn't in there, Doug, do you like the new blood, or would you like to see the Patriot deal and the Giants, those teams that have been so strong as of late? I think everybody wants new blood, don't they?
New blood? I not necessarily. You like dynasties. Okay, here's who's alive in the NFL. And I'm going to go in the – we'll start in the NFC. I want to go with teams – that you do or don't want to see in the Super Bowl. You'd say, okay, and not depending on who they play. The Giants. I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl. They're the defending champ. I don't want to see them. You?
No, I go right with you there.
Carolina.
Yeah, I'd like to see
them. I could live with that. Minnesota.
No. Well, I just don't see them being in there.
The only but would you want them?
No.
The only thing I see there is Adrian Peterson. And it doesn't matter because then they just put in Chester Taylor anyway. The Arizona Cardinals. Now, if they play, anybody that gets in, remember, would be on a roll, obviously, going into the Super Bowl. So, Arizona.
No.
I think that'd be fun.
Well, Arizona would be a fun team, but do I see them in there?
No, I didn't. That's not the question.
Okay.
That's not the question. Would you be okay with Arizona playing in the Super Bowl?
I guess if I'm an AFC cornerback, I'd love to see Minnesota in there, because I think Tavarius Jackson would find me, and he'd find me two or three times.
How about Arizona?
I think that's, you know, you got playmakers on offense, and the offense, I mean, those guys would be, that'd be good.
Atlanta. I'd love to see Atlanta in the Super Bowl. That is all new blood. Michael Turner finally getting his chance, emerging out of the shadow. By the way, Atlanta Falcons with Michael Turner, 10-5. San Diego Chargers without Michael Turner, 7-8. I don't know. Just saying. And, of course, Dallas, obviously, since that's our team. Tampa Bay, Philly, Chicago, they're all still alive. You know, they all have a storyline to them. Philly, it'd be nice to see Brian Westbrook get a shot. Donovan McNabb, whatever. Yeah. The Bears are the Bears. There's a lot of Bears fans. So I think that'd be okay. But, again, not much excitement there when it comes to offense. Tampa Bay, Yeah, they'd be down in the pecking order. AFC, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Boring.
But
they can't score unless they're playing Pittsburgh. Tennessee, I mean, I don't know. It's new blood. But the Steelers.
Yeah. Just because of the Steelers' history and whatnot. Yeah, you'd like
Miami. I don't need to see 1-15 going to the Super Bowl the next year, because then that just opens up a whole can of worms. Denver.
No. I don't want to see another game with Mike Shanahan and Jay Cutler.
Colts.
Yeah, I see the Colts. I see Manning.
Always appreciate watching Peyton play. Baltimore.
See, I would say yes to that. You would probably say no.
Why would you say yes?
Because of that defense and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. I'd love to see the Dance coming out of the tunnel with the smoke around him again.
As they introduce all their team at once. Oh, I just remembered that. I'm going off on that. And then you got New England, the Jets, and San Diego. I'd love to see San Diego overcome all the crap that they have had to been thrown at them and make the Super Bowl. That's one of the reasons I wouldn't mind seeing Pittsburgh get in. They have the toughest schedule in the NFL. And they would survive it and get to the Super Bowl. That'd be something. I don't really want to see New England in there, except that, yay, Matt Castle. But as much as Matt Castle's done, remember, most of the other guys are still there from this juggernaut. And the Jets... No, it would just be funny. And by the way... The Jets are struggling right now. If they go 9-7, you're going to fire Eric Mangini? What do you want? You stunk last... Well, you didn't stink, but, I mean, what do you want? You have a shot at your title every year? I mean, where were the Jets 3 years ago? How can you fire Mangini? Who's better? Who are you going to get? I mean, don't just pull a Steve Peterson and fire somebody you don't get along with or don't care for and then have no plan. You can't fire a coach in the NFL that wins 10 games, 9 games, year after year, unless you're San Diego.
Brett Favre, 84 passer rating, 21 touchdowns, 19. I mean,
that's got nothing to do with it. Why would you fire Mangini? He didn't make the call to go get Brett Favre.
But they put a lot of money. There's a lot of Adam money other than Brett Favre.
So? Did they perform?
Well, they improved their record, so you'd have to say yes.
Well, all right. That's all I'm saying about this. By the way, because we've got just some open time to talk about this today. This note to all, and I might have brought this up during the season, but just because I remember this from the Super Bowl, I think that New England and maybe Baltimore also started this idiotic tradition. Either we have starting lineups or we don't have starting lineups. By the way, people, for you teams out there, the starting lineups aren't for the benefit of your kid to run out the tunnel or to make a scene, and unfortunately that's what happened in the NFL. You know, Ray Lewis coming out and making the scene because he's being introduced. That's not the point. You can fine. You can be introduced as a team. But the PA guy, the TV guy, the radio guy, the guy that's covering the game still needs your starting lineup to cover the game. I don't understand where this all of a sudden was a cool idea. And here come the Blue Jays. Here come the Raiders. Here come the Cardinals. Whatever. That's fine if you want to run. You can do whatever you want. It's not mandated. But don't just say, and they would like to be introduced as a team, so here are the Raiders. That is just stupid. That is just stupid. We need to find a way. If that's the way we're going with that, then we need to change the way we do our pregame introductions. I mean, it used to be warm up, and at this time we, you know, announce the starting lineups, followed by the national anthem, and then we kicked off. If we don't want to do that anymore, then let's structure it that we don't do that. It's to give some sort of semblance to the pregame. I mean, as a coach, that's why in basketball we come out, and what's the first thing we probably do? We run through layup drills. Then we run through passing drills. Then we run maybe a little three-on-three, or every coach has a little something different after that. You do whatever your liking is. We go to the locker room at the seven-minute mark so they can sweep the floor. Or sometimes one team goes to the locker room, and we stay out on the floor and run full-court, don't-dribble passing drills. And then, you know, introductions. You know, have we seen in basketball, there will be no starting lineups tonight because they don't want us to introduce their starting lineups and individualize their kids because every kid gets a ribbon. Have we seen that in basketball? So why should you get to do it in football?
So even some high school teams doing it.
Exactly.
Oh, I love when you get all wound up.
That was something that was stewing for a while.
I know you'd waited on that one for a long time. Oh, you're right, Douglas. You're so right. It's just one of those little things that makes going with you to games so much fun.
We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, and when we come back, we're going to laugh out loud at Tony, because that's what we like to do right after this on the Doug.
Happy holidays from the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Rudolph, that's not a very nice thing to do with that elf. Ho, ho, ho!
Christmas is a wonderful time of year. The holidays bring out the best in people. The staff at Barney Insurance would like to wish you all a Merry Christmas. We'd also like to thank our customers for the opportunity to serve them for another year. Make sure to take time this season to reflect on the blessings of family, friends, and a great community to live in, and most importantly, the birth of Christ. Wishing you all the best in this Christmas season and hopes for a prosperous new year, we're Barney Insurance.
Get to the 10.
Hello, Alamo Bowl.
Get to the 5.
Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Get to the end.
The All-State Sugar Bowl.
Get to the end zone.
The Rose Bowl.
Bring in the heat. Lob for the end zone. Wide open. Wide touchdown. Touchdown.
BCS National Championship.
Take ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550 along for 16 bowl games, including the entire BCS.
It's over. Our move is finally over, and we couldn't be happier. Lind Eye Care is now officially located at 4107 7th Avenue. So open your eyes and come see what we can do for you. For example, at Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs. Whether it be new contacts or LASIK surgery, at Lind Eye Care, they treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to see Lind Eye Care at their new location at 4107 7th Avenue in Kearney.
This Sunday, Brian Urlacher and the Chicago Bears need a Week 17 win to keep their playoff hopes alive. They'll be on the road to face Andre Johnson and the Texans in Houston. It's the NFL Game of the Week this Sunday, right here on the Sports USA Radio Network.
We've got an NFL triple header with playoff implications on Sunday, starting at noon with the Bears-Texans, followed at 3 by the Dolphins-Jets, and Sunday night the Broncos take on the Chargers on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures will climb up to around 23 for a high. Winds will also shift to the south this afternoon at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low near 14. South winds stay at 5 to 15. Highs reach 34 on Christmas Day. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 10 above.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening.
Doug and Daddy Show.
A beautiful
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Get to some of your email here in just a little bit. As we said, we've been installing a new system here at the entire radio station, which also, I guess, affects the show. Do they still include the show as part of this corporation here?
I imagine.
And so, Derek, we had a whole bunch rolling in from the last couple of shows. Folks have... We didn't get to yours. We sure apologize, but hopefully we've got that up and going. Got a lot of new stuff rolling in today, and we sure appreciate it. You can fire it off anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox right now. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to point fun at Daddy. Let's wait. We're going to do that because it's going to be like a whole segment. Is that okay? All your shopping done?
No, I don't.
Adam and Holdridge says, a Manning Brothers Super Bowl. Can you imagine the stories? As Jim Rome would put it, Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. Would get tired of that storyline. Hey, look on the bright side. If both Mannings made it to the Super Bowl, you could have the halftime entertainment be a brother versus brother Oreo lick-off.
Cool. You know, the headline would read Archie's boy versus Archie's other boy.
Well, Eric Casilius went off on this like a couple of weeks ago. He says, I don't want to see this. He goes, I'll get tired of all this. You'll have, you know, you'll be talking to their third grade teacher, their high school coach. You'll go back to their town. Kenny Mayne will do the big segment with Cooper Manning. You know, he goes, it'll be all kinds of stuff like that. You know, which brother's better? Cooper, you're the best. Yeah, whatever, loser. And then we'd see that SportsCenter ad over and 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 over. This goes back to the Dead Popper inbox. Are we giving away another space heater today?
Let's do it.
That's right, because that's what we do the day before Christmas. Jim in Grand Isle was our winner yesterday. He goes, thanks for the sun heat system. Hopefully it gets here before I freeze to death or kill my mother-in-law. Were we supposed to say that? Maybe wait until the mother-in-law thing is done. Jim loves you. Anyway, a couple of things that are on my mind. One, the Nebraska women's basketball Nebraska women's volleyball team being ranked number 3 is great, but still too low. They deserve number 2. They beat Texas and Stanford, gave Penn State way more than anyone thought they would. Great year, girls, another fine season. I'll come back to that. 2, this is the first time I've mentioned this to anyone. I've never complained about this during the season, but did the Husker football team have one favorable officiating crew all year? Tony?
No.
This is the worst year for calls against the Huskers that I can remember. I'm not whining and saying we lost any games because of the refs. We did what we did, and we weren't perfect by far. I accept that. But we had more missed calls and more calls against us this year than ever. Anyone else feel the same?
I think we say this every week.
You said that. When's the last time Nebraska got a break? There was one, maybe two all year long.
Yeah, where you go.
Texas Tech game.
Yeah, there you go.
3, I think the Huskers finished the year exactly where most realistic fans thought they would. As a matter of fact, they were a couple of plays from exceeding everyone's expectations. Yeah, but remember, Jim, they were a couple of plays away from being 6-6. I think anyone that is a real fan should be proud of the product this coaching staff put on the field every single week. I know the team will make us proud to be Nebraska fans of the Gator Bowl and hopefully get the win they deserve. Merry Christmas, Jim and Grant out.
You know, you go back to that Texas Tech game. Yeah, they might have got a couple during that game, but they didn't get the call in overtime where it looked like Nate Swift was held, which would have been a 1st and 10 on that first play and never had an opportunity.
Well, because we have time to discuss these kind of things, the final volleyball poll was out. We talked about this on Monday, and then it came out last night. Nebraska not ranked number 2, and someone has to explain to me why. Penn State's going to be number 1, and 2-3, whatever. But you know what? Yeah, it is whatever. And it's not really close. Penn State, 1,500 points is perfect. Stanford second with 1,430. Nebraska third at 1,377. So they're quite a bit back, and they're only 44 ahead of Texas, who was fourth. There's some people that had Texas voted ahead of Nebraska. I wish we had the same coaches poll listing in the USA Today for volleyball as we did for football. And here's the deal. Nebraska has a better record than Stanford, if only by a half game. Stanford was 31-4. Nebraska was 31-3. Nebraska beat Stanford. And Nebraska was the only team in the country to take a set from Penn State, and they took 2 of them in the national semifinals, took them to 5 games, had a 10-8 lead in the 5th over what many people are calling the best volleyball team in the history of Division I volleyball, yet Nebraska finishes 3rd. They split with Texas, so Texas is 4th. I suppose that's why Nebraska got ahead of them in the final poll, is because they made that run and pushed Penn State, but Stanford beat Texas early in the season. Nebraska beat Stanford. Nebraska split with Texas. I don't understand why Nebraska is not number 2. I mean, every coach should have voted Penn State number 1, and every coach should have voted Nebraska 2. I don't understand how what your logic is anywhere else. And I will say Stanford did play Penn State tough in a couple of 2-point sets, but it was still a sweep, and you didn't take anything from them.
I guess if you're one of those coaches that did not vote that way, you must have put a lot of stock into the Quest Center and the home court advantage in which Nebraska had. I mean, that could be the only argument they have.
Yeah. All those matches that we did speak about were in Omaha. The matches that Nebraska won against Stanford, Omaha. That they took Penn State to 5, Omaha. The game that they beat Texas in Lincoln. So, but blah, 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 blah. Washington 5th. Iowa State, who wasn't ranked heading into the tournament, ends at number 12 after making it to the Elite Eight. So you're in the final eight, but you're only the 12th best. Okay, and Kansas State was 20th. Another Nebraska opponent in the tournament, Michigan, who they beat, finished 17th. So that was the final poll in which Jim referred to a little bit as well. College football game tonight, Hawaii and Notre Dame. And I'm thinking, even going to the brother-in-law, the sister and brother-in-law's house tonight, I'm pretty much guessing maybe it'll be switched over there one time tonight to check the score. Maybe.
Obviously, Notre Dame's a great draw for bowls because they travel. Will you see the Notre Dame faithful show up on Christmas Eve?
In Hawaii?
I got to think that's a lot of no to a lot of people.
Another one, Tony. Last night, what'd you think? TCU, Boise State didn't take advantage of the TCU turnovers early on and put them away, and that allowed TCU to come back and win the football game. And crucial, at down the wire there, about 5.5 minutes to go, you're in a 3rd and 6 at about the 10-yard line, and you take a sack, giving yourself no chance to go for it on 4th and about 15, so you have to kick that field goal. The way their defense had been playing, I would think if it was 4th and 6, you go for it because they would have had the ball, TCU at the 10, and you hope to stop them and use your timeouts. But it didn't happen. They kicked the field goal, and they never could manage something on their last drive. 17-16 TCU.
Great matchup. I thought the emotion was really second to none. A lot of times, you see one team pretty fired up, the other team not. Both teams went at each other last night, pretty high level. And I thought Gary Patterson after the game, that's, for a coach to win a bowl game, yeah, they were unbeaten. But, you could tell that they'd invested a lot in this game, and those kids were going crazy. And I thought that was pretty exciting for an early bowl game like that.
One of the greatest signs I've ever seen, it was a two-part sign. Did you see it in the game last night? I can't remember if it was Boise State sign or TCU sign. I can't remember if it said Bulldogs or Horned Frogs. I think it said Bulldogs, public enemy number one. And then the other sign was just a big photocopied head of Mark May.
I saw that last night. That was hilarious.
Public enemy number one, because he doesn't want any small school to have any chance to play anybody in a bowl game. Mark May, what a tool.
Hawaii, by the way, trying to make people forget about, obviously, the debacle last year against Georgia.
By getting Notre Dame in, a team they've got a chance against.
Well,
I've got one more question for you, Tony, before we go into break here. Nick Saban named the Associated Press College Football Coach of the Year. Easily. And maybe we should call SIP and find out who he voted for, because that's who votes on these. And I have to think he didn't vote for Nick Saban. He outdistanced Mike Leach from Texas Tech. Utah's Kyle Whittingham was 3rd. Georgia Tech's Paul Johnson was 4th. Explain to me again why Nick Saban should have ran away with this. Coming into a school that traditionally has talent, 6-6 last year, same record as Mike Leach has, minus one. I mean, they both have the one loss. If the Big 12 was the tougher conference, Mike Leach is your coach of the year. And again, being in Big 12 country, obviously we're a little biased, but aren't we sick of that? I mean, so the SEC wins it again. I guess you win the SEC, you're the coach of the year. It doesn't make any sense. And they didn't even win the SEC. Obviously, they lost the title game to Florida with no title game. They would have won it, obviously, being unbeaten. I guess, and I haven't really heard anybody bring that up today on a day where there's not much to talk about in the national sporting world.
If you're in the SEC, wouldn't you think that, Urban Meyer would have had much to stake for the national coach of the year if he beat Nick Saban for all the marbles? I mean, is there any great storyline to Alabama this year? I mean, they overcome I don't think they overcame anything. I mean, tragic-wise or what have you. Well, yeah, Mike Leach is obvious, would have been my obvious choice, and I'm sure that was Sipple's choice.
I did grab some numbers that I saw you know, in Vegas at the beginning of the year, you can bet the over-under total on almost every college football game. The over-under win total on Alabama was 8. Nebraska was 7. So, yeah, which is where everybody thought it should be. So they did, but, you know, maybe more people thought Texas Tech at least had a chance in the South, but that they were going to have to overcome Texas and Oklahoma. So, again, I have to think that
Georgia
Mike Leach should have got
up
more.
9-3. Okay.
Yeah, well, give Paul Johnson a lot of credit.
No, that's Utah.
Well, Utah's Utah. They were mentioned as a BCS buster at the beginning of the year. I don't understand why that was such a big deal either. So, heck, I'd give the Navy coach some credit. You know, there's some other teams out there that deserve credit, but Nick Saban. Yeah, like he needs another piece of hardware on his mantle. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back with more. Keep firing off your emails to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. 1-888-455-ESPN, the number. We're back after this.
Happy holidays from the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Oh, no, now, Rudolph. Don't do that in their yard. Ho, ho, ho.
Get to the 10.
Now Alamo Bowl.
Get to the 5.
Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Get to the end.
The All-State Sugar Bowl.
Get to the end zone.
The Rose Bowl.
Bringing the heat. Lob for the end zone. Wide open. Wide touchdown. Touchdown.
The Valero end Alamo zone. Bowl.
Touchdown.
The BCS National Championship. Team bowls, including the entire BCS and title game between now and January 8th. It'll be in your dashboard, on your nightstand, in your garage, under the tree. Take ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM along everywhere and anywhere you are. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com for a complete bowl and broadcast listing. And while you're there, become a super fan. It'll make you a better person in 2009. Nature's fifth season. Bowl season on ESPN Radio.
People are talking about the Doug and Daddy blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Daddy blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo.
Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Daddy blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think. Nelson Agency in Minden wishes you and yours the best this holiday season. Happiness, peace, and joy is sent in this message to all of our customers and friends. May you have a prosperous new year. The holidays are a time for busy shopping, merry celebration, and preparation for the new year. But take time to thank God for all the blessings which He has bestowed. Wishing you a joyous holiday season from ABC Drugstore. It's just as easy as ABC.
Nature's fifth season.
It's in the end zone.
The Rose Bowl.
Bringing the heat. Lob for the end zone. Wide open. Wide touchdown. Open. Touchdown.
The Valero Alamo Bowl. The BCS National Championship. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com for a complete bowl and broadcast listing. And while you're there, become a super fan. It'll make you a better person in 2009.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures will climb up to around 23 for a high. Winds will also shift to the south this afternoon at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low near 14. South winds stay at 5 to 15. Highs reach 34 on Christmas Day. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 10 above.
On the first day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me a Joe Daly INT. On the second day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me two Lincoln losses and a Joe Daly INT. On the third day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me three blowouts, two Lincoln losses, and a Joe Daly INT. On the fourth day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me fourth in the division, three blowouts, two Lincoln losses, and a Joe Daly INT. On the fifth day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me
5 measly wins.
4th in the division.
3 blowouts.
2 Lincoln losses.
And a Joe Daly INT.
On the 6th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 6 crappy losses,
5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and a Joe Daly INT. On the 7th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 7 players leaving,
6 crappy losses,
5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and a Joe Daly INT.
On the 8th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 8 streaks of broken,
7 players leaving,
6 crappy losses,
5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and a Joe Daly INT. On the 9th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 9 more new coaches,
8 streaks of broken,
7 players leaving,
6 crappy losses,
5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and a Joe Daly INT.
On the 10th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 10 Red Raider touchdowns,
9 more new coaches,
8 streaks of broken,
7 players leaving,
6 crappy losses,
5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and a Joe Daly INT. On the 11th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 11 games of torment,
10 Red Raider touchdowns,
9 more new coaches,
8 streaks of broken,
7 players leaving,
6 crappy losses,
5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and a Joe Daly INT.
On the 12th day of Christmas, Bill Callahan gave to me 12 Solich backers,
11 games of torment,
10 Red Raider touchdowns,
9 more new coaches,
8 streaks of broken,
7 players leaving,
6 crappy losses,
but 5 measly wins.
4th in the division,
3 blowouts,
2 Lincoln losses,
and Joe
Daly.
Today I have asked Coach Bill Callahan to step down as the head football coach at Nebraska effective immediately.
There's your Christmas present, folks. It never gets old, I don't think. Yeah. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's the Doug and Matt Show edition of the 12 Days of Christmas. Again, as always, thanks to the former co-host of the show, Matt Schick. I hearken back to those days. I'm hearkening right now.
Hearken away.
I am. Evidently, Nebraska is moving up in the recruiting ranking, so is that good news? They're number 22, according to Rivals.com. Texas 3rd, Oklahoma 11th, A&M 21st. Yeah, okay.
Not you know.
Former
what?
Pro coach brings in players. Huh. High recruiting class, huh?
That sounds familiar.
Huh.
Disaster 3 years later on his way out the door. See you, Mike Sherman. Bill Byrne fires Mike Sherman 2 years from now.
One of the things, Nebraska's class, 5 players with 4-star rankings, nobody with a 5-star. Texas, 2 5-stars, 13 4-stars. Oklahoma, nobody that's a 5-star, 8 4-stars. A&M, no 5-stars, 4 4-stars. Whatever. Do we care? We're glad that there's supposedly some good kids coming in.
They did announce the Christmas edition, I guess, the first team, all USA Today team today, and a lot of people following Gabe Lynn, the one linebacker, I think that Nebraska, defensive back, excuse me, that Nebraska was in on from Jinx, Oklahoma. He has a brother to Phillip Dillard. He is going to Oklahoma. He was on that team. Sheldon Richardson, a kid that's going to Missouri, is a defensive lineman, 6'4", 292 pounds. And then Mason Walters, an offensive lineman, headed to Texas. Those are the Big 12 those are the kids headed to Big 12 schools.
Tony, a team here in Arkansas, Pulaski Academy, punted twice this season. This is a high school football team that punted twice this season. The head football coach, Kevin Kelly, decided he was tired of punting the ball. The coach became miffed when his Bruins punted away to Pine Bluff, only to see an 80-yard touchdown on the return. Kelly says that was stupid. We should have gone for it. So as a result, his 2008 team did not punt during 14 games.
What's the record?
They punted twice, one as an act of sportsmanship to prevent running up the score, and then never after that Dollarway game where they ran back against Pine Bluff. He says keeping the offense on the field on fourth down allows for more creative play calling. Third and long doesn't have to be a passing down. The Little Rock school can run the ball, throw a screen pass, or use any number of formations. Defenses don't know whether to use a nickel or a dime. And Pulaski's offense has less pressure on third down. The quarterback says, we don't really worry too much about it. We just get as many yards as we can. We don't have to go for the first down. If they convert on fourth down, it creates a momentum change. Yada, yada, yada. Evidently, this coach is a big statistical phenom. He says, if they have a fourth and eight at their own five-yard line, he said his explosive offense likely will convert a first down at least 50% of the time. If it fails to convert, statistical data from the college level shows that an opponent acquiring the ball inside the 10-yard line scores a touchdown 90% of the time. If they punt it away and get about a 40-yard punt, 10-yard return, the other team will start with the ball on the 38, and they will score a touchdown 77% of the time. So only a 13% difference. So Kelly has tinkered with the punting game since winning his first state championship back in 2003. He says, you know what? He also likes to onside kick. If his team doesn't recover the onside kick, the opponent likely will field the kick around its own 47-yard line. And on a typical kickoff, the other team usually starts around the 33, so you're only giving up 14 yards of field position.
Interesting.
Huh. On an onside kick? So about 75% of the time, he uses an onside kick instead of a standard kick. And he says they feature 7 different kinds of onside kicks. The bunch, where 8 players are on one side and 3 on the other. Faking the kick with one kicker while the other player shifts over to kick the vacated spot. Clustering all 11 players before spreading out just as the ball is kicked. Bouncing a hard kick off the turf for a jump ball. And launching a helicopter kick by kicking a ball placed on the ground against the tee. By the way, did we mention that this team that Kevin Kelly coaches at Pulaski, Arkansas, just won the 5A state title?
Cool. In a related story, the punter that punted twice was the All-State punter. His last name was McCarter.
I knew we were coming with that.
And who came up with the story? It was Riley Jade Humbleton.
No, I'm kidding. Well, see. Hey, let's go to the email here, the Dent Popper inbox. How can you possibly debate Nebraska volleyballers finishing number 3 in the country? Everyone knows they're lucky to be there. Why, if it wasn't for the cold weather and tremendous home court advantage, they couldn't possibly compete with the rest of the NCAA volleyball powers. Have them play in another venue, like maybe Seattle. And we all know they wouldn't stand a chance. That's from Russ in Happy Valley. Oh, Russ Rose, Penn State head volleyball coach. Thanks, Mike, for firing that off.
I want the NCAA to explain to me why they're not making arrangements for Omaha, much like the College World Series, to just be the home of it.
If Nebraska's not in the Final Four, it would be very old very quickly. It's just a 2-3 day event. I mean, I think it'd be very well attended still, but it's a whole different ball of wax here. And I don't see any problem with the best team getting to host like they do in Division II, or one of the teams making it. The problem is, it's just, I think it's much more time consuming as far as hotels and getting everything open and
travel. I mean, travel,
and leaving your gym
late.
Open. Not some places the basketball and volleyball share those things. So,
but Doug, there were 12,000. Maybe that was tickets sold for the final game. I don't know. I mean, actually,
it was sold out. I think that's just how many people showed up, wasn't it?
I don't. I guess I don't have that information. But 12,000 was the announced attendance. Now, yeah. when you go put it in, you can put it in Los Angeles. I believe you only get 5,000 or 6,000.
Less than that? Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to go back and look at the numbers. 1-888-455-ESPN. You like Christmas?
I love Christmas.
What's your favorite Christmas carol?
I like Elvis Presley. Oh, have a blue. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I like that one.
What else do you like?
I like an array, but I like the older stuff. I mean, I like Tony Bennett and when they sing those older guys sing the Christmas songs. Now maybe we should come out with a Doug and Daddy, like a CD.
Yeah, that's what they're waiting for.
I mean, I like Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. I like that. I think it's funny. I like, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of fun things out there. You know, I just think I get more excited now probably for Christmas because, much like you have a young nephew. I have a young nephew. See their faces light up on Christmas. You know, that makes things pretty fun. Why not? Do you have a favorite Christmas?
I like Sleigh Ride. Big fan of that. Like the Boston Pops, if you're going, traditional type of stuff like that. I love Frosty the Snowman from Leon Redbone and Dr. John.
See, you music people.
Thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, thump. Look at Frosty go. Thumpity, thump.
Do you know when he says those names?
Over the hills of snow. See, that's why I don't sing. It's bad. I love that one. See, if we had anything going on this show, and this ain't Derek's fault, because we organize about as good as anybody, we'd had some of that. But I think we have a new Christmas carol. Mark and Robin have too much free time on their hand in Minden. And by the way, are you completely healed from the car running over you?
I think I'm, yeah.
For folks that aren't familiar, this was about, a month and a half ago? Month ago? Where your, Explorer?
Yeah.
Backed over you in your own garage?
Yes.
It kind of pinned you and ran you over?
Basically.
Okay. Well, they have written a song for you, and I will do my best. To Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. It's Daddy Got Run Over by His Own Car. Daddy got run over by his own car. He wasn't in and it started to leave. You may think there's no way to do this, but as for me and Duda, we believe. We don't know if he'd been drinking. If he was, we'd like to know. Cause the car door almost got him. Then he staggered onto the lawn into the snow.
There was no snow.
There was no snow? This was before the snow? You sure?
Yes.
See, here's the problem, because they didn't match it up to the music. This is a musical interlude right here. So now we come back to the chorus with Mark and Robin, and it goes something like this right here. Daddy got ran over by his own car. He wasn't in it and it started to leave. You may think there's no way you can do this, but as for me and Dudo, we believe. Now to work he wears his sweatpants, and there are bruises who knows where. Please, oh please, Daddy, don't show us. As he dropped his drawers and gave Derek quite a scare. Yes, the unbuckling sound that we had on the show was not good at all. Daddy got ran over by his own car, an instant Christmas classic. Let's save that because, by God, that might never get old. We will take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Final segment heading into Christmas right after this.
Happy holidays from the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Oh, no, now, Rudolph. Don't do that in the yard. Ho, ho, ho.
People come, people go. Life seems to move pretty fast, so relax and ring in the new year with your friends and family at Sportsman's in Gibbon. They're celebrating the new year with their famous Ladies Cut Prime Rib Dinner for Two, only $24.95. That includes salad bar and a complimentary bottle of wine. Celebrate the end of 2008 and the beginning of 2009 at the Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge in snowy downtown Gibbon. Dinner starts at 5. Happy holidays to you and yours from everyone at Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge.
Hi, Kent Reynolds here at Crossroads Ford with the Crossroads Ford Christmas Specials. A 2008 Ford Explorer four-wheel drive XLT with under 11,000 miles right out of the Ford sale, just $19,600. Here's a 2008 Ford Escape four-wheel drive. It's blue with XLT trim, only one at this price, just $15,988. And just traded for a 2001 Ford Ranger Super Cab, just $7,900. That's Crossroads Ford, Kearney.
Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Mercury.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Partly cloudy to mostly sunny skies develop across the area today as temperatures will climb up to around 23 for a high. Winds will also shift to the south this afternoon at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low near 14. South winds stay at 5 to 15. Highs reach 34 on Christmas Day. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 10 above.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. They're open right now at Troutman's Quality Meats. If you need that last-minute gift idea, why not get a gift card from Troutman's Quality Meats? Everybody loves food, meat, snack sticks, the fish products that they have, beer and wine. Stop by and pick it up, whether it's a gift card or whether it's something for the weekend. You're going somewhere, want to take a bottle of wine for the holidays. Fine. Or maybe, you know what, you're having Christmas this weekend, or you're having it or already had it. Maybe you just need to kick back with your family or your friends and enjoy some great food. Whether it's hams, bone-in, bone-out, brown sugar, or hickory smoked, ham is done the way it ought to be, just like the old days. They've got great prime rib and gift cards, string cheese, snack sticks, summer sausage. Enough said, it's all right there for you at Troutman's Quality Meats. Wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays. They're open until about mid-afternoon, so don't wait till the last second. And run in. You know what? And I will say this because I'm as bad as anybody. Those people that are working, they want to get home to their families too. Don't overhold them to the last minute, folks, today. If you can at all, do the best you can. And I'm as guilty as anybody of waiting to the last minute. But you know what? I just how these people can still stay friendly in retail. I don't understand it. And just about everybody I've run into, and it seems like, and it actually seems like there's more help out there. You know, I actually saw people, and maybe it's the economy, but I actually saw people standing out by the registers at some of the big places here saying, come to my aisle, or you don't have to stand for a half hour to get checked out. You know, it makes the whole experience so much better, and everybody has done such a good job here in the Tri-Cities.
Because we spread Christmas cheer, and we focus on positives like that.
Exactly.
Many people are kind of like, well, I don't like to go to Cabela's because I don't stand. I tell you what, 2 days ago, ran out to Cabela's. No line, lady, like you said. Sir, can you step right over here? Perfect. I you know, that's one of the big knocks. You know, I've heard a lot of people.
I heard somebody say, I was 50 deep in line at Cabela's the other day.
Did you?
I guess it just depends where you go. Tony, I got this for you, though. Here's one that when it comes to Christmas holidays, you can't beat this one.
I'll have a blue
Porky Pig Christmas.
Christmas. Without you.
Yeah!
Oh, you feel so blue. You're just thinking about you.
Almost as good as the Elvis rendition.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
See, if we had a show Friday, we'd be playing stuff like this again.
It won't be the same, dear. If you're not here with Emmy, and when those Ibby blue, it's snowflakes, it start falling.
A lot of kids don't even know Porky.
That's when those Ibby blue, Emmy memories, it start calling.
Best part still to come, by the way.
You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white.
I dedicate this part right here to you for Christmas, Big Daddy.
Oh, baby, I'll miss you.
It's Porky. It's a kazoo. It's Christmas. You gotta have some fun with Christmas, and you gotta like traditional as well. It's our favorite pig. It's Porky. Wishing you and yours the merriest of Christmas, as they are Steve and the gang. And as when we say Steve, it's Steve and the gang at Misco Sports, who has that last-minute gift idea. Maybe you need a stocking stuffer. Maybe it's so cold. Maybe you got more folks coming in that you thought, oh, man, I didn't plan on this person for a gift. You can't go wrong with a gift from Misco's. NFL and college team hats. They've got great sweatshirts on the rack from Nebraska and many of your other favorite college teams. Columbia ski coats are 25% off right now. Running shoes, footballs, basketballs, soccer balls, duffel bags, anything that you can think of, Bearcat, loper attire, star attire, it's all right there for you, from the very small item to the very big item for your sports fan. Set up a basketball hoop for the little kid in your family. You can do that as well.
Go down there and get some more sweatpants.
Misco Sports on the bricks in the downtown Kearney Center. Well, that has taken us to the final moment of today's radio show. We are going to take Friday off to enjoy a little more time with our family and friends and head into the NFL. Did you have picks for the weekend, by the way?
Such a loser. I'm such a loser. Now it's Christmas. I'm not a loser. I'm shedding that mentality right now.
Okay, Daddy's three quick picks, which we almost forgot to do on the show today. Throw out three for me, Daddy. I'm almost guaranteeing 3-0 right here. Don't think, just pick.
You know what? I'm going to take Seattle at Arizona. Scary, but Arizona's mailed it in. I'm going to take Detroit plus 10 at home, just a Christmas pick.
No way.
And I'm going to take Dallas plus a point and a half. Let's get a win, boys.
Look out for Oakland getting 12 and a half against Tampa. Way too much. Happy holidays from the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. We will see you on Monday the 29th. Daddy, Derek, enjoy your holidays.
Hey, have a merry, merry Christmas. We'll see you on Monday.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.